Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. My favorite epistle. Hebrews deals with the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity in the New Covenant. If you take a look at your Bible, the Pew Bible, Genesis through Malachi is Old Covenant. What did the writer to the book of Hebrews call the Old Covenant? A copy, shadow, obsolete, fading away. There's too many Old Covenant Christians. We no longer operate on the basis of the Old Covenant. Yes, it was foundational. It pointed to Jesus Christ. But it was abrogated when Jesus inaugurated with His blood the new covenant. And churches ignore that. Why do churches ignore that they are under the new covenant? We said, what do you then do with the Old Testament? Well, it says that those things were written for our instruction. You can look at how men and women in the Old Covenant lived a life of faith. How they walked with God. How they learned those great spiritual lessons in Romans 15:4. But we are New Covenant Christians. And there's been a marvelous eternal change in what we are blessed with in the New Covenant. It took him to chapter 8 to get to the main point. I don't feel so bad for all of you who say I take forever to get somewhere. Look at this. All of this, the superiority of Jesus Christ, because the New Covenant is the better covenant. All the Old Covenant did was point to Jesus Christ. The Old Covenant was a copy. In verse 5 we saw last week, shadow. But now, verse 6. In Sunday school they make you memorize the Ten Commandments. Well, shadow and dust, copy. Memorize the new commandment. What commandment are you under in the new covenant? Tell me. Huh? You shall love your neighbor as your... Love. See, love is the fulfilling of the law, Paul said. If you want to fulfill the law, it's very simple in the new covenant. Just ask yourself one question. What would love do? But now in verse 6, as we saw last week, he obtained a more excellent ministry. Than whom? Than anyone in the Old Covenant. And that includes Moses. Because remember what John said? Law came through whom? But grace and truth. Through Jesus Christ. Would you rather have cubic zirconia or a real diamond? That's what the new covenant is. The old merely pointed as cubic zirconia. He has inaugurated the new covenant. He is the mediator of a better covenant enacted on better promises. Wow. Better than what? The old. That would have gotten this writer stoned. Remember Stephen? Acts 7? That's a pip of a sermon. They stoned him. This would have gotten the writer of the book of Hebrews stoned. Because he was telling this congregation that that old covenant was temporary, gone, and the new covenant is absolutely, qualitatively better. It was inaugurated by Jesus Christ. In verse 8, we looked at last week, it said, "For finding fault with them," that is the first covenant, he says, "Behold, the days are coming." Guess what? The days are here. Because the writer is quoting Jeremiah 31. Let me show you the implications. If you're under the old covenant or the new covenant, there are implications. What rule you follow has implications for you in how you behave and how you think. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. These days are here. And the question is, what does the old covenant do? And what does the new covenant do? What does the old covenant do? And what does the new covenant do? So let's start. Paul talks about that. There are implications. If you're an old covenant Christian, there are implications for you. If you're you can't be an old covenant Christian. It's oxymoronic, but there are some people that try. What are the implications if you're a new covenant Christian? Look at 2:11. "Therefore remember that formerly you..." What? Formerly you what? I'm a goy, which means cattle. I am a Gentile. If you follow the Old Covenant makes a distinction between Jew and Gentile. If you want to be an Old Covenant, then you have to say, "You're a Gentile, and that person there is ethnically a Jew." "Therefore, remember that formerly you, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision." You know what? You want to know what an Old Testament Jewish curse word was? "You uncircumcised dog." That's the way the Old Covenant made those distinctions. If you want to be Old Covenant, you find what you do is you want to curse at Gentiles in the Old Covenant, call them an uncircumcised dog. Because that's what they did. Because under the Old Covenant, they were chosen. And all the Gentiles they referred to as uncircumcised dogs. You want the Old Covenant? Then, if you're a Gentile, you're an uncircumcised dog. That's what Paul is intending here. "By the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands." You know what God told him? "It's not outward circumcision," Moses said. "It's circumcision of the..." Boy, did I get in trouble. I can't talk about that, but I got real trouble with a librarian at Biola when I changed the circulation desk when I was dating Sandy, and I took white out and I put circumcision desk. Oh, did she get mad at me? Woo! She went after me. You know, librarians love rules. And one of the rules was don't take white out and change their signs. And she took it. She was very offended by it. And I said, "Look, the whole Old Covenant was built off of something that's very, let's be open about it, circumcision." Today, circumcision is of the heart. That means you don't have to be male or female. It's something of the heart. Look what also he says. "Remember that you, under the old covenant, at that time, were separate from Christ." Therefore, if you want to play up the old covenant, guess what you've got to do? Separate from Christ. Because the new covenant unites. The old covenant does what? Begins with a D. Divides. Christ unites. Moses does what? Divides. Separate from Christ. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You want to emphasize the old covenant? Then you'll make up all sorts of divisions between I'm a Jew, from Israel, you're a Gentile. Strangers to the covenants of promise. What covenants are those? The Abrahamic covenant. The new covenant. If you want to emphasize the old covenant, you want to be a part of that. Guess what you're strangers to, Paul said. You're strangers to the covenants of promise if you want to emphasize the old covenant. Having no hope and without God in this world. But look at verse 13. You see two words that are amazing. But now. That's meaning under the new covenant. What did you get under the old covenant? Division. Superiority. Separation. Alienation. But when Jesus Christ inaugurated the new covenant, when He sat down with the disciples and said, this is the blood of the new covenant, look what it says. But now in what? Listen to me. All the promises made in the Old Testament have only one fulfillment and can be fulfilled in only one way. In Christ. I don't care who they are. If they reject Christ, none of the promises of Christ are to them. If anybody rejects Christ, their physical relationship to any tribe of Jacob, gone. Those promises are fulfilled in Christ. But in Christ, you Gentiles who were formerly were far off. What were you far off from? Use the context. What were you far off from under the old covenant? Look at the context. What did He say we were far off from? What else? Huh? What else were you far away from? Look at the, what's it say? You were separate from Christ, excluded from what? Excluded from the, guess what? Christ unites. Strangers to the covenant. That's what, you were excluded from verse 12. Everything in it. But now, in the new covenant, you've been brought near, how? By the blood, which inaugurated what? For He Himself is our peace. Do you know what peace He made? He's not talking about peace with God. He's talking about peace between Jew and Gentile. Do you know what Paul says in Philippians? Come here, let me just hold your finger. You've got to understand the implications of the new covenant. That's why I'm taking a whole bunch of time. Look what it says in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 1 through 3. Cheryl, are you there? I'm going to pick on you. Stephen, you there? This is how I keep people awake. Some people were swallowing asleep on me. You'll be called to... Okay, read Philippians 3:1 and I'll rudely interrupt you. The implications of the new covenant. Go ahead.
Finally, my brother...
Finally, and he doesn't quit. That's chapter 3. It takes him to chapter 4 to finally quit. Keep going. Finally, brethren, what? To write the same things. Repetition is the key to learning. Do you think if I say it once, everybody's going to catch on? Keep going.
And it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the
dogs. Oh! Beware of the dogs. Do you know what Paul's doing there? Guess what Old Covenant Jews called Gentiles? If you emphasize the old covenant, guess what you get? You dog. That's why the wonder of the new covenant that the Jewish Messiah didn't consider as dogs, he loved in Christ. Keep going. Who do you think he means by that? The Judaizers. You know what the Judaizers in Paul's day wanted to do? Make Gentiles into good Jews by getting them circumcised and teaching them they have to get under the law of Moses. You know what Jesus said? You're free from the law of Moses. You're free from circumcision. In Christ there is peace. Keep going.
Beware of the false circumcision.
Oh! Whoa! There's a false circumcision. Who are those? Keep going.
For we are the true circumcision.
Whoa! Who's the we there? Huh? Who's the we? We are the true circumcision. Who is that? Jew and Gentile in Christ is the true circumcision. For we are the true circumcision. By the way, that has great implications. You know what God said in the book of Revelation? Jesus said in Revelation 3, there was a synagogue of unbelieving Jews that persecuted the church. And in Revelation 3:9, who's got Revelation 3:9? Who's got Revelation 3:9? Ron, stand up, Ron, so everybody can hear it.
Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them...
You know what God's promise to the church is right there? Did you hear what God's promise is to the church of His followers in Christ? Read it again. Did you hear that? Those in the new covenant are the true followers of God. And God said, I will make those that persecute you, even though they claim to be old covenant people, and they're not. Adjust your theology with what Jesus said, not John. Jesus said that. We continue back in Philippians. Keep going.
Who worship in the Spirit of God and glorify in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh.
What did the old covenant put confidence in? What was that confidence? I'm of this tribe, circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of this, a zealous follower of law. You know what Jesus said? Gone. New covenant. Boy, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Let's go back. For He, Ephesians 2:14, He has made peace, making both groups what? Don't you see a distinction now? Don't you dare see a distinction. Jesus Christ broke down the distinctions between in the old covenant that it raises up. Broke down the barrier. If you emphasize the old covenant, guess what comes up? If the barrier is broken down in the new covenant, what do you do if you raise the old covenant up? What do you put up again? Fences. Christ unites in the new covenant. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, the hostility. Where is that hostility found? In the law of commandments. Listen to me. In the old covenant, that put up a dividing wall, a distinction, and that created enmity. God's plan was all along to have the old covenant merely point to what He would do permanently in the new covenant. And that hostility, that enmity, those divisions in Christ, in His flesh, so that He might make the two. Who are the two? Who are the two? You got it. Into what? Thus establishing peace. There should be no more hostility. No one is superior to the other. We are all in Christ. And might reconcile both into one body to God through the cross. Put it to the enmity to death. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off. Who was far off? Gentiles. He preached peace. And peace to those who were near. For through Him. Let me say something. It says through Him. Who is the Him? Does anybody have access? Does anybody have access, Jew and Gentile, to God apart from Jesus Christ? Therefore, anybody that isn't in Christ never participates in any blessings of God. It says here, for through Him we have both one access to the Father. Now go to another wonderful promise, the implications of the New Testament in Galatians chapter 3. We told you last week in Galatians 3:10 that everybody that follows the old covenant is under a curse. Do it all, or you're guilty. If you break one, you're guilty of it all. By the way, that makes me, no wonder Paul said able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That doesn't mean rub the magic lamp and God will give you what you want. That meant that God was able, in Paul's mind, to unite Egyptian with Jew and bring peace. So today you're not Egyptian, and whoever is Jewish is not Jew. You're one in Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. Don't make those distinctions anymore. Then it says this, for that no one is justified by the law. What's the law now? Verse 11, 3:11 of Galatians. What's the law? It's also known as the old covenant can't declare you righteous. You couldn't keep it. Those precious Jewish people failed. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices the law must live by it. Christ redeemed us, what? From the curse of the law. There's a curse. Do it all or none. In order that in Christ, by the way, did you see what it says? In Christ, please note that. Circle the word in Christ. None of this is true to anybody ethnically unless they're in Christ, the Jewish Messiah, who came and united us all, wherever you're from, whatever ethnic background, He broke that down. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to whom? Have you ever heard people say, I'll curse them that curse you, you better be careful. Listen to me, that applies to the church, that is Jesus in Christ. People! That was given to Abraham and to Abraham's seed, which is in Christ. So when people tell you, I will bless them that bless you, you better tell them, don't you mess with God's church, His people. There's coming a reckoning. You see in Revelation 3:9, they were messing and persecuting God's church, His people. And He says, I'll make that synagogue bow down to you. And they'll know that I love you because you're in Jesus Christ. that the blessing of Abraham might come. Where are the blessings of Abraham? Where are they? Can you go to the blessing of Abraham? Do you know where you find that? Genesis 12, Genesis 15. Might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the... That's the new covenant. We're going to make it to the new covenant in a little bit, but I want to show you. You emphasize the old covenant, you put up barriers. You emphasize the new covenant, you break down walls of distinction. And the privilege is only in Christ. Therefore, anybody that rejects Christ doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of participating in the promises of Abraham. Adjust your theology because that's what the Bible says. And yes, the preacher does swear from the pulpit. Look what... We got to quit. But look what 16 says. Now the promises to Abraham were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say and to seeds as many. But Paul, quoting Genesis 22 here, says that the promises to Abraham were to his seed, singular. And guess who that seed was? Christ. Therefore, if you're in Christ, guess what you have? The promises of Christ. If you're outside of Christ, how much do you get? There's a Yiddish term for it. Bupkis! You get nothing. It focuses on Jesus Christ, the glorious Messiah that is Christ. And then look what it says in verse 29 under the new covenant. And if you belong to Christ, do you belong to Christ this morning?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Then look what it says you are. Then you are Abraham's what? Did you just see that? That's what the Bible says. So when you see someone who is an unsaved Jewish person, guess what? You're more of an Abraham's descendant than they are. Because in the new covenant, Jesus Christ made you a member of His family in Christ.
Amen.
You in Christ are Abraham's what? I love that. I see Al and Alice. I think Al was in Egypt as far as he could be from the covenant of promise under the old covenant. Guess what? Abraham's seed through faith in the Messiah. There are no more of these distinctions. Adjust your theology. That is the blessings of the new covenant. We're not even in to discussing and looking at the Old Testament, but we're going to do that. It's coming. But I want to show you. You emphasize the Old Covenant, and what do you get? Division, separation. You emphasize the New Covenant in Christ, what do you get? Unity, peace, and the promises of Abraham in Christ. That's why we got to pay attention to the New Covenant, not the Old. Not the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The imprecatory Psalms, but Jesus said, for those in the new covenant, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you. It's a completely different manner of